Welcome to the Dylan Bush Podcast. My name is Dylan Bush, and today joining me once again is Cooper. What's up, Cooper?
What's up? How you doing?
Doing well. And today we're going to be talking about BG basketball again. We're also going to be talking about UT's basketball, just kind of the general state of the MAC right now. And I think this is episode 9 or 10. I got the last number wrong. I think this might be 10. And if this is 10, we've made it 10 episodes. And this is a new record because, I mean, well, I guess every episode's a new record, but regardless, I guess we'll just go right into it. Last night, BG played Buffalo, and they won the score 86-78. It was played at the Stro. 300 were in attendance. And the referees, Tim Stewart, Jim Shipper, and Buddy Mayborg, just in case anyone was wondering. Shout out Tim, Jim, and Buddy. First half, Buffalo was down 2. It was 34-32. Ugly first half. The second half, basketball got a little better, and BG won the second half 52-46. Cooper, initial thoughts from that first, or I guess that game against Buffalo?
Kind of to be expected, the sloppiness, like you said, early in the MAC season. But I think Buffalo's a real contender. That's a great win for BG. If you're going to play sloppy, at least come away with the win, right? And, I mean, you're still scoring 86 points.
Yeah. I mean, they scored 86. I mean, they score 52.5 in college with 20-minute halves, excuse me. That's pretty solid. I mean, I don't know if you can ask for more against – I mean, Buffalo's not Owens Community College or a tiny school either. They're a legitimate MAC contender for the past however many years. They definitely reminded me a little bit of Toledo's team last year with just the star power and then absolutely no one else on their team. Just going through some of the lines right now, Javon Graves, who first team All-MAC preseason, he was 23 points, 9 of 19 from the field, which isn't terrible, 2 of 8 from 3, which is all right, and 3 of 9 on free throws. I'm not sure what his stats were last year on free throws, but as a scorer and as the leader on this team, you cannot go 3 for 9 at the line. And that's kind of why Buffalo lost this game. They were 18 of 29 from the line. They shot, I think, 68% or no, wait, maybe like 68%. I don't have the exact number on me. Mm-hmm. But just a terrible performance from them. And in comparison, BG got to the line 40 times and converted 31 times, which is partially due to Justin Turner, which we'll get into later. But I thought Ronaldo Segu, he also played pretty well. He was a big recruit from Florida from a couple years ago. He was MAC Sixth Man of the Year last year, which I remember him starting for Buffalo last year, I swear. But they said he didn't start at all. Coming into the game, Jonathan Williams, I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. He was their leading scorer at like 20-something a game. He put up 19. He has a weird Julius Randle kind of game where, like, he's all left hand, but, like, it still works. I thought he was pretty all right. Yeah. And other than that, they had no one. Besides, Ronaldo put up 22, Jonathan put up 19, and Javon put up 23. And the rest of the team combined to score 14 points. And those guys put up 70. I guess they put up 64. So you just can't put that kind of performance up if you're the rest of the guys on the team.
Agreed.
Looking else into it, they were 4 of 14 on threes, and they shot 61 times, and they only shot 14 threes, which seems a little skewed to me. I don't understand. I know you don't need to shoot 30 threes at 60 shots, but, I mean, 14 threes is a little low, in my opinion, especially when you compare it to BG, who ends up shooting 23 threes.
And it's an interesting point to bring up is that Nate Oates was the coach that led Buffalo to top 25 and, you know, succeed in the NCAA tournament, which is unbelievable for a MAC school. And he's now down at Alabama, but I think he just left after last year, or was he not there last year? I don't know. But
this coach is, they said whoever the coach is right now has been there for 2 years. So this is his second year.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that Nate Oates' offense is predicated on just like never stop running and shoot only threes. So just a completely different mindset. So it's interesting that Buffalo is still a contender, completely changed their identity, it seems.
Yeah, I would agree. Obviously, I don't know as much about the history of MAC basketball. I'm kind of new into the MAC game. But, I mean, Sagu had the ball for almost the entirety of the game when it wasn't in Javon's hands or Williams' hands, and he refuses to shoot threes, and his jump shot just, I mean, his three, he has a nice mid-range shot. Like, I think he, so he's 1 of 3 from the field, or from three, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. When he gets into the key and kind of the free throw area, he's almost lights out. But I mean, his set 3-point jump shot is just, it's just not that pretty. No offense to him. Yeah. And like, he clanked one off the side of the rim, and I was like, oh, all right. And that kind of just set the tone for the rest of the team. So Javon shot, like I said, they shot 14 threes, and Javon Graves shot 8 of them. So 6 threes between the rest of the team. And, you know, live by the three, die by the three, which was the Duke thing for a while. But that's kind of what BG's kind of embraced a little bit, to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else to say about Buffalo. The rebounding battle, they beat us really bad. Or they beat BG pretty bad, excuse me. 43 to 33. They have a couple bigger dudes. Brock Bertram, who I think is a fifth year, they said. He's huge, and we couldn't really box him out that well just because he's so big. Jenison Williams is pretty big, and he was always near the rim. Trayvon Fagan, he was also near the rim a lot. So they just had a lot of size on us. And we were shooting a lot of threes, so you just get long rebounds to them. Overall, they had no bench support. I think they scored 7 points off the bench. BG scored 17. And, you know, they shot a better percentage from the field. They didn't look that bad. They shot 40, like I said, 46% from the field, which isn't bad, but you can't only make 4 threes against this BG team. You're going to have, without playing defense in the second half. Right. From the BG point of view, they put up 86. They shot 40% from the field, 39% from three, 77% from the line. They just looked a lot better in the second half. And Huger's talked about this a couple times, that they've come out in the first half really flat, and in the second half they've kind of like engaged more, which I don't know if they came out flat in the first half. I wouldn't say they did. It was just super sloppy in the first half. So maybe BG's goal going forward is just like, we need to hang around in the first half, and as long as we're just in the game, we can make a run at it in the second half and kind of hope.
Sure.
But we get later into the season, teams like Ohio, who just went on a 40-0 run. Toledo, who's very talented. You can't have just, hey, we're only going to play one half of basketball and hope to win the MAC, or any games in the MAC for that matter.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've seen so far. I texted you before the game started, and I said, if Justin Turner gets to the hole and he shoots threes, they're going to win this game. And Justin Turner got to the hole, and he shot threes, and they won this game. 33 points. I don't know if that's a career high for him. I don't think it is, but it's pretty close probably. In 37 minutes, 33 points, 7 of 18 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, and an unbelievable 15 of 15 from the line.
Huge.
And he played 37 minutes, which is a little higher than his usual, like 33 to 34, and just 15 trip, you get 15 free throws, and yes, a lot of them were end of the game, they were fouling, but like, still, I think that might have only counted for like 6 free throws. So if he got to the line, he had 9 free throws before then, and that's what Turner needs to do.
Yeah,
just get to the line. You shoot 90% from the line. He's so effective at getting to the hole. I just, it pains me to see when he gets 6 feet away from the hole and he does a little floater or a little step back. It's like, man, just take it. If you get pinned, whatever, if whatever happens. But like, if you get fouled like 3 out of 4 times driving to the hole, take that. That's 2 free points every time.
Yep.
Matheny with 11. He played pretty well. When I watch him, he's like a little jackrabbit out there. He just runs around playing defense. He just causes chaos, and I absolutely love it. And he makes threes, and he just helps out a lot. He played I will say this. Sagu absolutely cooked him for about 30 minutes there, but like, he just caused chaos enough, and it just helped out. And I really like what he brings to the table. Fields played unbelievable defense while also adding a little bit of offense, 9 points, including a 3 and some free throws. Daquan, a quiet game until he had that huge dunk kind of late in the second half, which,
like always,
it's almost always. Yeah. They said he was on SportsCenter top 10 today, which is, I think they said this is like his like third or fourth time since being a BG, which is kind of cool. Swingle put some post moves on. he was out there doing hooks. He had like a 8-foot lefty hook, and it was so nice. So it was a pleasant surprise to see him playing so well on the offensive end. Diggs kind of a little off on threes, and by off, I mean he still made 2 threes out of 8, but it's just not Diggs numbers usually, I guess, this season.
Right.
Which is not fair to Trey Diggs because he's been shooting like 6 of 10 for threes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big minutes for Cam Young, who was a freshman from, I think they said, I don't want to mess it up, I think they said Philadelphia, though. He was playing defense, 4 of 4 from the line. He had a couple big offensive rebounds, was just playing good defense as a whole. Shout out to him. Other than that, Isaac Elsasser, BG, native, he got a couple, he actually got into the first half. He shot a couple free throws, did not make either of them. Definitely nervous. I'll tell you what, both of them hit back iron, and I knew, like, man, when I was a senior in high school and I got checked in at the end of games, I was nervous as hell. And every time I got checked in, I got checked in one time and they put against Napoleon, and they fouled me before they even inbounded the ball. So I had to shoot free throws, and I just been sitting on the bench, like hunched over between like Jaden and Colin McIntyre for 40 minutes. So like, I'm just so tight. And I shot that first free throw and just clanked it. And I was like, yeah, I knew that wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to end well. That's actually much it though. Definitely Juice 2 held the scoring reign for for BG tonight. That's what kind of leaders do. This is what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Is he going to be able to step up? And he did.
Yeah. And I think for Bowling Green, you're more interested in them tapping their potential, right? More than, I mean, obviously you want them to win games, but the one bright thing that the broadcaster said the whole time during the game last night was they're totally right. You seeding matters to get into the MAC tournament, and you want to win the MAC. It's a huge accomplishment, but it really matters how you're playing at the end of the year. So to sit here and say BG just beat Buffalo, who we think contend for the East and for the MAC, they beat them by 8, and you're saying they didn't even come close to playing their best game, right? I think that's an important thing to realize. And, like, for example, I'm not sure Toledo can play much better than they played the other night, but Bowling Green is beating contenders by almost double digits. And they're still not fully there. They're still developing. So I think it's actually a good sign and just things to watch for.
I'd agree. I mean, you know, BG was probably, I would say, up until mid-January last year, BG was the team in the MAC. They were leading the MAC. They were unstoppable. Even when Dylan Fry had his little leave of like 3 or 4 games, they were still pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And it was just next man up kind of mentality. And I don't know if you remember because of, gosh, literally February 2020 seems like an absolute eternity ago. but they were starting to lose steam. They lost to Miami by about 20. And I know it was at Miami, and Nike Sabande is still really good. But, like, good grief. They were terrible at the end of the year. And it's just really made you think, what is going on with this team? And, you know, it's taught you peak in January. And you had a good season and you finished third, but man, you peak in end of February, early March. That's how you get into the tournament. That's how you win the MAC championship. And so you just kind of think to yourself, does BG have another gear to them? And if so, when will it get engaged? Mm-hmm. And that's not me saying, I hope they lose 10 games right now and play good. But I you just wonder, I mean, Daquan only scored 8 tonight. Matheny put up 11 and kind of picked up a little bit for Daquan. Diggs only scored 10. I mean, it just makes you think, if this is what we're getting right now, I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And where do you think they improve? Like, for me, I think it's rebounding. Like, Daquan is just so athletic. He can beat anyone out for a rebound, but Swingle only played 16 minutes, but he's sitting here with 2 rebounds. Like, I mean, if you lose the rebounding battle by 10 boards and you win by 8. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you really snag a couple more of those, it's probably never even in doubt towards the end.
Yeah, so for me personally, I think there's 2 things, and it's rebounding and it's defense. And I know I just sound so stereotypical because everybody always wants to say, you know, you can always get better at defense. But when you have when you Fields is always going to play defense. There's no doubt about that. And he will always guard your best, their best player. And he does a fantastic job every night. You know, Matheny, he causes chaos out there. I'd like to see him just sit down and play a little more defense. And I know it's tough because he's 5'10 or 5'11 and you just get a bigger guard like Sagu, who's like 6'6. I mean, he's not 6'6, but he's like 6'3. It's just tougher for him. So like creating chaos might be just his best way of playing defense. But like there are certain times where it's, you know, 6 minutes left to go in the second half and it's a 5-point game. And I don't need you to go for a steal. I need you to just sit down and keep him in front of you the as best as you can. Yep. And not let them get an easy point. Like, make them work for it. Turner has taken a step up, in my opinion, defensively. I don't remember him specifically playing defense last year. Not saying he didn't, but I just don't remember him being like, wow, Turner's playing great defense. Right. But this year, I've seen him like 3 or 4 times just stop a baseline drive and just turn a guy completely and force him out of a drive. He was matched up with Javon a little bit last night when Fields either wasn't on him or Fields was on Sagu or whatever. And I thought he played pretty well. Daquan matches up with those 3 to 4 guys so well for Miami. He always guards Delonte Brown. And I think he does a really good job. And just like those kind of swing guys. And like you said, the biggest thing is Swingle and just kind of the center position. What's going to happen later in the season? Jacob Washington only played 8 minutes tonight. And last game he played, I know it was against Purdue Northwest, but he put up career highs for him, which were like 8 and 6, but like still off the bench, that's pretty solid. And you just kind of wonder, man, Swingle's had an issue with fouls earlier this year. He had 3 fouls in 16 minutes. Yep. And I mean, you get into the playoffs, you get a team that's kind of got a bigger guy that's talented. I don't know if like there's any nap keys in the MAC this year, but I mean, if there's someone like that, are we just going to get torched?
That's like, a real question.
Yeah. So I think interior defense, kind of just sitting down every once in a while. But like you said, rebounding, not many times are you going to win a game by almost double digits and get out rebounded by double digits. And I meant to mention one more thing is fouling. They have fouled so many times. I know it's partially because the college game, like they try to keep it a little cleaner. And especially in the MAC, it gets messy sometimes. And, you know, if you just let everybody foul, the game won't get clean at all.
Right.
So they call a little bit of the touchy fouls, which they do in almost all basketball. And I think not letting teams just get free shots, free throws, they were in the bonus, like Buffalo was, with like 6 minutes to go, like the double bonus, like 6 minutes to go in the first half, and they just didn't take it to the hole enough. And it's like, you can't do that against a good team. Against Toledo, Marion will take it to the hole every time. And we don't have anyone that can guard him besides Fields. And if Fields gets in, Fields plays good, pretty good defense without getting into fouls. But like, if he gets into foul trouble somehow, it's I don't know what we'd do at that point.
Yeah. And to build off of your Justin Turner defensive take, I'm just imagining how much fun it would be to have in a pipe dream, they make the NCAA tournament, but even in the MAC tournament, so you have a matchup just because you and I are Toledo BG fans, but, you know, Marion and Turner battling it out and both defensively and offensively, you know, like,
yeah.
And you can envision a scenario where Bowling Green's just in it, like just back and forth tournament game against, they'd probably play like an Arizona State, like someone in the back half. Arizona State's got that Remy Martin kid. And just to see those 2 point guards just battling it out, and Turner finishes with 30 and he finishes 25 and it's the last second, you know, that's what I would like to see out of Turner. Just to, it doesn't need to be a perfect defender, but just a competitiveness that makes it just, it can be such a fun energy because college basketball, especially towards the end of the year, guard play is so important. So just, I can envision it right now, how fun a scenario it would be to have him going up against another great guard.
Agreed.
And I'm just battling it out.
Yeah, Turner seems to have taken a bit of a approach where he realizes some of his weaknesses or some of the things that maybe weren't as present in his game last year. And he's looking in his future as much as he's looking at this season. Can I make it to the NBA? Can I play overseas somewhere? Mm-hmm. And Turner is a weird guard because not quite a point guard, not quite a I'd say he's more of a shooting guard, but he's only 6'4". And the way the game's going, you know, you got to be 6'10 to play shooting guard now. I mean, not really, but like you have to be a little bigger. And so if he's going to want to get on the court, he's going to have to play some defense, not because he's not going to be the number one option everywhere he goes in the future. And so I think he's done a good job of like kind of adapting this year. And I think his biggest improvement has been kind of just tuning in more defensively. And yeah, we still, I don't even think we hide him on defense. I think we promote Caleb Fields more because it's less of like we're putting Steph on JR because Steph's a bad defender, and more we're putting Clay on Kyrie because Clay's a good defender.
Right.
And so you're playing to your strengths, obviously, but like Turner still, when he gets switched onto a guy, he's competitive. He doesn't give up. Like, if he gets beat off the dribble, he's not just following the play, trying to get a poke from behind steal. He's trying to cut the guy off. He's trying to move his hips. I appreciate that he's, like, kind of taking more of a stance on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been encouraging for me. And, again, 15 free throws from Turner, that's the perfect game for him. I don't know how much better of a game you can get. He had a couple mid-range shots, and I know BG probably won't track shots by distance, which like NBA does. And so you can kind of tell like 16 to 19, he's shooting this percentage. Right. This year, he's been really inefficient on mid range. He made a couple last night, maybe like one deep one, but like, and I don't want to make Turner a 3-and-D guy, but it's like, man, if you can take out that 17-foot jump shot and make that just a three or just a take to the hole and only take the mid range when it's really open, man, I think that just makes him all the more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much BG is kind of telling him what shots to take and how, what they're not trying to tell him to take, because he is a fifth-year senior, and he knows what he's doing. But you just wonder.
Yeah, and maybe that shot comes to form towards the end of the year, and then he's making it from every level. So maybe there is an aspect of that where they feel confident that if he keeps refining that shot throughout the year. But I agree with you, though. I think I'd rather see him. I'd rather see him shoot a three or take it to the hole. I mean, it seems like he, especially against Buffalo, it seems like they just had no answer when he was determined to get to the rim.
Yeah, especially when you make, when you're shooting damn near 50% on threes, and they have to respect that. You know, you're getting the ball in the wing, and they're rotating late, and they're flying out for a 3-point contest, and you pump fake, and like, instead of just taking that one dribble pull up, like take it to the hole and just get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Just get hit and go to the line. Get 2 points for free. I thought that played, the overall, I thought the team played pretty well. Gonna need to see Daquan and Swingle and Diggs. Well, Diggs, I think Diggs played fine, whatever. Before we finish, I was gonna end it right there. I should mention, Diggs took 2 charges last night, and we took like 6 as a team.
And that's his thing. That's the only thing he does.
Here's the thing. He's a three and D player, but the D is only charges. He doesn't play any actual defense. And that is not a knock on Trey Diggs. He plays AAU defense. Like, if I get beat off the dribble, I'm just going to poke it from behind. And if I don't get it, well, I'm on offense.
Yep.
and hopefully my big man doesn't get into foul trouble. Even though both of our big men last night, Plowden had 4 fouls, Swingle had 3 fouls. Yep. And Washington had 2 in 8 minutes. So that's what happens when we don't play defense in the perimeter. Just big guys pick up fouls. But, you know, he makes 3s, so I guess it's worth it. I don't think I really have anything else to add. Buffalo, solid team. Definitely going to need to just not do the Toledo approach where we have 3 guys that can score and everybody else sucks. You're going to need some support from the rest of the team. Going forward, I don't think they're as solid as they were last year, but I still think they're a good team, and they'll definitely be in the contention, maybe not to win the MAC, but to be up like the upper tier of the MAC, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Let's shift focus to Toledo, your school, which this season they are 3-2. They lost to Bradley on a buzzer beater, right? And they lost to Xavier by 3, but they also have big win, fat win over Oakland. Cleveland State, who just went on a 40-0 run last night or the other night versus Ohio, and Eastern Michigan, who put up a really good fight against Michigan State.
They put up
a really good fight against Michigan State, and UT won in convincing fashion, 91-74. Cooper, what have you seen from this team that's been impressive to you that you weren't expecting going into the season?
Depth for sure. Again, talking about last year where they, not only did they not have anyone on the bench, they didn't have a fourth score. They didn't have 2 starters that could really contribute. So you're looking at a team that had 5 guys in double figures against Eastern Michigan, and that's huge. You're looking at a team that Marion Jackson is clearly the most talented player on the team, clearly your leader, and he hasn't even really been the leading scorer in the majority of the games. This transfer, Cetric Milner Jr., I had no idea who the heck he was. He's a godsend. He was 8 for 8 from the floor. Now, 1 for 6 from the line, which we could work on. But, I mean, he was 8 for 8 from the floor. And talking about Justin Turner can't make a mid-range shot, he only shoots elbow jumpers. You cannot stop it. It's, like, unbelievable. We don't have a big. We were supposed to have A.J. Adu back. And, you know, there's very little press on Mac basketball. But he got injured, and I don't really know with what. But, again, and Kowalczyk said he's out indefinitely. So we're stuck with this guy named Kamagum, and I honestly have no idea who he is. Apparently he's from London as well, like Adu's from London. I don't know if he's been here. I don't know who the heck he is, but he's fine. He's just he's 6'9", and that's about the best compliment you can give him, and I don't mean anything offensively. It's just he's in the way, which helps, and he rebounds, and that helps too, and he's not asked to be a scorer, but we're struggling with a big man, which again might not matter this year in the MAC. Seems guard heavy, but that's the one thing I'd nitpick. But yeah, this team is deep, and we got a freshman in Rollins that's been really good. Littleson scoring more, and if this team can keep bringing guys off the bench, that's huge. The one thing I'll say, they're not going to shoot 50% every game. I mean, this game was an outlier, don't get me wrong. And 50% doesn't even do it justice. They were probably shooting 60% for the majority of the game, and it backed off. I mean, they were just super hot from the field. So, but great win. And they don't usually defend. That's been my big thing under the real Coach K, is that they don't defend very well. So they defended Eastern Michigan very, very well. Held them, especially the stat I point to, is 9 for 31 from three. And that's another thing if you're behind and you're putting up shots. But they could not make a three, and it wasn't like, oh, they're missing open threes. Like, Toledo was really, really doing a good job rotating on the perimeter. So a lot bouncing around there, but those were my main takeaways from that game especially.
Yeah, so I haven't been able to tune into much UT action this year, partially because I really just don't watch a lot of MAC basketball, partially because I just don't even know if I get access to Toledo games. Maybe I do. I know you have ESPN Plus. But like you said, Marion's got to be the clear leader of this team. This past game, 6 of 15, 3 of 10 from 3, 5 of 5 from the line, 20 points. That's what I told you before. You shoot 10 threes, you shoot 5, you get to the line like 5 times. Mm-hmm. You will get 20 points if you're a scorer. And that's exactly what Marion Jackson is. Excuse me. This year, you know you're going to have to fill in for Napke and the other Jackson. And Milner's done a good job. Littleson played the perfect Littleson game, which is just, I will give you 35 plus minutes. I will shoot from three every single time. That's the only shot I'll take, and I'll play really good defense. And that's all you really need from him. You do not, if that was kind of the issue last year was, all right, you take one of the Jacksons out, you take Napke out, so then you put like Caleb Fields on Marion, and it's like, well, Littleson's got to be your play initiator now. And at that point, you've lost. No offense to Littleson, but he's not your play initiator. He's a solid, 100%. Solid 3-and-D guy. And honestly, he's probably one of the better 3-and-D guys in the MAC because his ability to shoot has gotten better over the past couple of years. And just solid defense. He played pretty good defense on Justin Turner last year. I think that game-losing foul he had, I don't even think that was a foul. And he played really good defense on Turner that whole night. He gave him so many fits. You were telling me about this Ryan Rollins guy who kind of showed up out of nowhere, right? He was a transfer.
Yeah.
And
he's a freshman.
Oh, he's a freshman. Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Even better for UT. He played pretty well. Keyshawn Saunders, who I told you before, went to high school with Thon Maker. He put up 13 off the bench last night whatever night they played. And I mean, it's weird for him because he was a starter last year and he's kind of been kicked to the curb a little bit. But if he can give you solid bench minutes, if he's your sixth if he's your sixth man, you have a good team. If he's your starting point guard, you have a little bit of an issue. And so he's good. You told me about this dude, Matty Okunzo. He might be pretty solid, you said. He played pretty well in 14 minutes. Does that mean – so right now you said Jonathan Kamagum or Kamogum.
Kamagum, I think is Kamagum, how they say it. But
6'9", from London, interdisciplinary studies major, which I don't even know what that even means.
I have no idea.
I thought you had Jamel Hill on your team, but you don't. You have Jameer Hill, which is really close. But I think Luke Maranka is also kind of like, he's 6'10". Like, he's not a big man because he shoots a lot of threes, but like, I guess he's like your de facto backup center now.
Yep. Yeah. He's just, he fills the same role that Kamagum does. He's just in the way.
Okay.
Gets rebounds.
Yeah. So. You know, we were just talking about BG and their lack of big men. You know, as long as someone can guard Daquan, this team might actually match up pretty well, because if Swingo can get in foul trouble and BG kind of ditches him, like, that's almost playing into UT and at the same time almost playing into BG as well, just because of the way it would be spaced. I really want to see that. Just like, I want to see UT, BG, just the best five players playing. Like, not just, oh, we need a center out there. I just want to see the best five players play for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be – those are going to be two great games.
Yeah.
Got them twice, both at the end of the year. First game's in that, I think, January 30th, and the second game's like early February. So.
Okay, I think you're right. I remember seeing it was like within a week or two of each other, both games. Looking at the season, they've been playing pretty well. They lost in heartbreaking fashion to Bradley to start the year off, and Bradley's a solid team.
Yeah.
Xavier's definitely a solid team. Or at least traditionally they are. I'm not sure how they are this year. But you put up some good fights. Looking ahead, you have Kansas City, who I didn't even know had a college. Marshall, Valpo, and then you get into MAC play. What are you looking forward to upcoming? Do you think this team has room to improve, or do you think they've kind of hit maybe what their best is, especially with Adu out?
Yeah, I like I said, I don't think you're going to look much better than they did Friday night. But they won by 17, so that doesn't mean that if they don't look that good, they can't win games. I think the loss to Bradley and the loss to Xavier were both more of let's look deeper beyond the score, see what we got here, because like we keep saying, it. I guess if you win those two games, you could start building an at large consideration, but no, you can't. Like right, they have to win the MAC, and it's more about rounding your team out. As much as you'd like to see them win. So I'm just looking forward to them keep developing. If they can get somebody that can – if they can keep shooting the three well, that's huge, and stuff like that. So hopefully they just keep rounding into form going into the BG game especially.
Agreed. What do you think this team's biggest strengths are right now and their weaknesses too?
I think their biggest strength is guard play for sure, and when you have Marion out there, obviously commanding the ball, that's going to be good for anybody. I don't care if you're Duke. I don't care if you're Toledo. He's
first
just
team All MAC. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a scorer. He's just a great guy to have the ball in his hands. He doesn't turn the ball over much. And then you also got Rollins back there, this freshman who I think might end up being one of the best players to play at Toledo. I mean, just watching him this year, just a freshman, hasn't even really had much coaching with COVID and stuff. He's unbelievable. So definitely a guard play. Weakness, I'd still say defensively. I Marion is like he just moves around a lot, but he doesn't defend a lot. He tries to draw a lot of charges, like we were talking about Diggs, and moves his feet pretty well, but he seems to get blown by pretty easily, which is fine. I'm pretty sure he's encouraged to not try to pick up fouls because you want him on the floor for the majority of the game. But if they can round out defensively, much like we were talking about BG, I think they're right in the thick of it. And you'd like to see a little bit more of a matchup problem in the post, but you know what? This is a MAC basketball team, and they're good enough there, I think.
When looking at Marion, do you think that there's a little bit of like they're trying to conserve energy on defense because he's so important offensively for you?
I think that's definitely a thing, and
to the point of so the point where you have or Fields kind of pick up for because he's so good, you have Littleson, and you're in saying, well, Marion's going to guard their best player even if he's a point guard because Marion's a point guard. It's like that doesn't make sense. Just put Littleson on him because Littleson's better defensively. There's no reason to make this a he's got to prove himself because everybody knows how good Marion is. Everybody knows how good he is. There's no reason to have to we got to put him on he's a point guard. No, play to your matchups. Play to we have Littleson, they don't. They have a good defender. Let's not just make Marion have to work super hard on defense so he can play better offensively.
And the one thing I'll say about Marion too is the nice thing is he is not playing great basketball right now. I mean, he's playing very good basketball because his floor is so high, but he's shooting 30% from the floor. He shot 30% from three again.
Yeah. Can I read some stats off to you for about his shooting right now?
Yeah.
32% from the field, in five games, 35% from three, including a couple games where he went 0 for 3 one game, 3 for 10 this past game. So in the past two games, he's 3 of 13. He is 18 of 18 from the line, which is pretty convincing that, you know, he is a scorer. He's going to get to the rim. Yeah. He didn't get to the line at all against Bradley or Oakland, which I don't know why he didn't, but I think someone got in his ear and told him, you need to get fouled, because the past couple of games he shot 18 free throws.
Yep.
And all three of those games, he scored a lot better. And so kind of getting to the same thing with Justin Turner, just getting to the hole better. And, you know, he starts to turn it up a little bit. Maybe Rollins goes down just because, you know, people start to figure out what his tendencies are. Same thing with Milner maybe, but he's more veteran. He's more of a veteran because he's had experience elsewhere, but you hope Marion gets rolling. Maybe a couple other guys go down, but otherwise, I don't see any reason why this team can't compete for the MAC championship pretty easily.
Agreed. Yeah, I think they're right in the thick of it, and that's what we had said when the preseason poll came out and Toledo was sixth or seventh. Like, listen, the MAC is deep. Don't get me wrong, but when you got a guy like Marion Jackson with the ball in his hands for a lot of the game, they are going to have a shot. That's just the fact of the matter.
I agree. And, I'm trying to find the preseason power rankings for what they had.
Got it up right here. So they got BG, OU, Akron, Buffalo, Ball State, Toledo. So Toledo at six.
Just
ahead of Kent.
And we just watched, and I know, again, this is the first MAC game for many teams. We just watched Buffalo last night. I don't think that team is beating Toledo. If those teams played 100 times, I think Toledo beats them probably 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Same thing with BG for what it's worth. And I think OU is pretty solid this year. I am definitely nervous about Jason Preston. They just went on a 40-0 run, and Jason Preston only scored 12 points that last game. And I really thought – I obviously haven't watched much OU basketball – I really thought, well, if you just shut down Preston, that's kind of the game. But I guess not.
Yeah, not looking like that.
Not looking like that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
You said Akron. They still have Jackson Loren. Christian was something. I can't remember his name. You still have that guy. You said Kent was up there too?
Kent was right behind Toledo.
Okay. They lost Tyler Cheese this year, who was a big player for Kent. He transferred to like Florida or Miami, Miami or something. He transferred to a bigger school. And,
oh, did he?
Yeah. So that's a big loss because that was, in my opinion, that was their best player. And we couldn't stop him last year. So
yeah, I liked him a lot.
A little less concerned about Kent this year. But I don't see any reason why Toledo can't be third by about the thick of the season, maybe first to third. That's where I see them to falling, depending on how some of their games go, depending on if Adu ever comes back and what's kind of going on there.
And I'm interested. I haven't seen Akron play because Akron hasn't played, and they were picked third in the MAC. So I'm interested to get some eyes on them. They're supposed to play not until the 15th. They've had two games canceled, so hopefully they get some games in here. We can figure out a little bit more about them. They might not get a game in before MAC play. We'll see.
Have they really not played yet?
They have not played a game.
They brought back almost the same team from what I remember, though, I think, which is kind of scary because I think at the end of the season last year, they were winning the MAC, right?
I think they were the one seed. Were they not?
Yeah, they were the one, and Toledo was BG was the two, excuse me. I always get Kent and Akron mixed up in the just kind of color wise and whatnot.
Right.
But I think that's a pretty fair assessment of where Toledo's at. Looking forward, I don't think, you know, but what's kind of interesting, which we haven't really talked about, maybe there's a chance with just how COVID works out that a MAC team just gets into the tournament without winning it. Just maybe. And it's definitely going to be a stretch, but You know, potentially a couple divisions get hit really bad. Maybe like the ACC, like a couple teams that always usually make it. Like maybe North Carolina only plays like 10 games this year. And mm-hmm. and they go like 3-7 and they're just not clicking. And it's like, holy crap, like that's a spot that's open. And like if UT and BG are both clicking, or maybe like Ohio just keeps routing people the way they did. I don't know. I don't know if it's likely, but I don't think it's completely off the table.
I think the one thing that you're missing, like you would have liked to see OU pull that game out against Illinois, right? Then you feel yes. like then
that's true.
None of these teams have a signature win. The whole conference has played at least one big team close, and none of them has sealed the deal. If you had one team that really had a nice win, I'd feel better about it. But you never know. I mean, obviously,
I think you're right.
This is the year of unpredictability.
UT beats Xavier and Bradley, BG beats Michigan, OU beats Illinois. I think you start getting in the conversation. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. Another thing to keep in mind, like I'm just going to tell you BG's schedule right now. So they just played yesterday, which was the 8th or no, the 6th. The 6th. Yeah. Excuse me. They play their next game December 13th, which is next this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. And their next game after that is December 30th. They're playing almost like a football team where they get like 2 weeks off in between right. games. And I've heard that there's rumors that they're trying to schedule more games against other teams, uh-huh. which we might see. But this could be a big factor coming into the season, coming into these games, because it's like if UT's probably got something similar. I'm looking at their schedule right now, as a matter of fact. They're playing a little bit more of a scrunch schedule. Still, they have a little bit of time, but it's like, you know, BG, they luckily haven't had any injuries, but if they have a spaced out schedule, you know, it gives guys time to recover and mm-hmm. just rest up, but it also provides the opportunity for people to get rusty. So it'll be interesting seeing going forward. Obviously, as we mentioned a couple times, Adu is pretty important to them just because he has skills and he's not just taking up space out there.
Right.
So you kind of hope he gets back.
Yep. We'll see. He said out indefinitely. That's the extent
and,
to which I
And
know.
They said it's an injury, right? It's not a team violation.
It is an injury, yeah.
Oh, man. That's really tough. Did you notice him go down in any of the games? Or
I didn't. I think they said it was in the Oakland game, which I didn't get my eyes on the whole game. So I must have missed it. Okay. So I didn't even see him go down.
Yeah, I think they said okay. Oh, out indefinitely with a knee injury.
Oh boy, yeah.
And they said he tore his ACL in 2019 in the World Cup game in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm wondering. I think they're trying to say maybe potentially it's the same knee. Yeah, he said He turns 21 in January, which I still feel like he's a freshman in my mind. Like I just remember hearing about him and he's already 21. But this could be a big loss going forward. And if he tears his ACL again, at that point, I don't really know what his role would be in the program.
It's tough.
It'd be a tough scene to see. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anything else to add, Cooper, probably just wrap it up here.
All right. That works for me. I think that was, I think I hit everything. Head on my mind.
Awesome. If you guys like this, just let me know. Thank you for listening. Cooper, thank you for joining, as always.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And again, thank you for listening.